The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Howdy! Listen up. I am talking. Now, the question of the hour is, who's got a Doctor Who podcast? Answer, we do. Next question, who's listening to it? Answer, you are. If you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceship and you've got any plans to listen to a Doctor Who podcast, just remember who's standing in your way. And then, do the smart thing. Listen to Earth Station Who, right here on the ESO Network.
All Gary wants is to make awesome home movies with his best buds, but all his sister Samantha wants to do is hang out with the cool kids. When their parents head out of town, silly parents, for one Halloween weekend, an all-time rager of a teen house party turns to terror when aliens attack, forcing the siblings to band together to try to survive this night. This movie is called Kids vs. Aliens, and it premieres in theaters, on demand, and digital on January 20th this year. And first up today, we are excited, super excited to talk with the film's director and co-writer, Jason Eisner. Jason, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great. My name, by the way, is Jim Fry. I'm the editor of The Con Guy and The Scare Guy, and one of your hosts today. With me today, my partner in crime, Cheeseman.
Hey, what's up? Cheeseman, one of the founding members and also a screenwriter.
All right. Yeah, we're both screenwriters, so we're really excited to talk with you today. Great. But from an entertainment perspective, I got to say, Jason, Kids versus Aliens, it kind of feels a bit like maybe Goonies meets John Carpenter's The Thing. I mean, because it's kind of like a very cool in-between type of a way to describe a film. Is it fair to say that this is a kid-centric movie, but it definitely doesn't seem it's geared towards necessarily a kid-friendly audience, or do you intend it to? No, can you talk about that for a second?
No, yeah, definitely. For me, I wanted the movie to be for kids who were the age of the characters, like, in the movie. So, young adults, like, teenager kids, like, from 13, like, up, I feel like you're good to, like, watch this. There's nothing that's gonna, like, you know, maybe, like, scare you traumatically in a way, but I've seen kids like that age see the movie. Like when we did the cast and crew screening, they brought some of their kids to it, and man, like just seeing their reaction to it, they were like, they just got so stoked. It reminded me of like when I was that age and like seeing like a movie that just got me excited, that you're just like electrified, like leaving it. And like, I had like friends telling me that like on the car rides home from the screening, those kids were like swearing up a storm.
But, what have you done to them?
Yeah. But you know, when I was a kid, like I was hunting down movies like Kids versus Aliens. And I just feel like in an age like today, it's like, you know, kids are seeing way crazier things everywhere else, you know, than what they're seeing in my movie. And I just think, you know, any kid could judge for themselves whether they're, you know, it'd be something they would be into.
Luke.
Awesome. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about how you came up with the concept for the story and kind of the scripting process?
Yeah, it's based on a short film that I did years ago called Slumber Party Alien Abduction, which was part of an anthology series called VHS2. And the original concept, or like the inspiration for it, was a lot of it is based on my own childhood. And the co-writer John Davies and I, we've known each other since we were 5 years old, and we've gone all through school together, and we even went to college together. And and a lot of the shenanigans in the movie from the kids is based on the stuff that me and John would do to my sister, you know. Nice. It's like literally like there's like true story, like we just recreated like some of the moments. And
if only you had more technology back then, right?
Yeah, I know. And And it's also, you know, very much inspired by like my childhood fears. Like when I was a kid, I was like terrified of the idea of being abducted by aliens. And where I'm from, there's like a great UFO story that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a great UFO story of a UFO that crashed on the southern point of Nova Scotia, where I'm from and where we shot the movie. And it happened in 1967, and a bunch of fishermen saw this glowing light like crash into the ocean, and they raced out there with their fishing boats thinking that it was a plane that went down and maybe they could find survivors. And then when they got there, there was no wreckage, and there was just this glowing light coming from the depths below. And you know, that was like told like a, it's a, you know, a true story that actually, you know, it's documented that happened. And growing up, I was so fascinated by it because it was like in my backyard. So I just like, I remember hearing like from my uncle who was like in the Navy, he told me some of the rumors and things that he heard circulating about what had happened there. And that just fueled my imagination and also like terrified the hell out of me. So yeah, it's just, all, it's very, it's, there's so much of me and like my upbringing and the things that I was terrified of. And so I just leaned into those things.
Nice. Yeah. So based on actual events.
Yeah, somewhat. You could say based on a true story for sure.
Well, can you talk about the actual filming, the actual film itself, the principal photography? Where did it take place? Kind of like how long was it?
And yeah. Yeah, we shot it in Nova Scotia, where I'm from, and we had like 24 days to shoot, so it was super quick. Yeah, the shooting of it was like, it was probably the funnest experience I've ever had. Like, I'm still so nostalgic for the time we shot the movie. I just wish I could go back to that feeling of, especially like the kids' clubhouse in the movie. Yeah. It's like this mm-hmm. barn with a wrestling ring in there and the arcade machines. Like, I would go to set every day like 2 hours earlier than everyone else, so I could just sit in there for like an hour or two by myself or the co-writer John and just like daydream in there and just, you know, just sink into the, like the vibe of the movie in a way.
I tell you what, it was the coolest kids clubhouse I think I have ever seen. Like, my clubhouse when I was a kid did not have a boxing ring in it.
No, that was great. Mine didn't either. But we used to make a ring in the living room out of like ropes and cushions and stuff. But I always thought like, cause there was like times on set, like people would show up and they'd be like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's no way kids would ever have something like this. And then I thought, well, like maybe that's what makes it fun, because like it's the ultimate like kid's dream. And like, if a kid watched the movie, they, you know, could get inspired or just think that, you know, that would be such a cool place to hang out. Like when I was a kid and I saw like the Monster Squad and
yeah.
had this amazing like tree fort or Ernest Scared Stupid, like just this unbelievable, unattainable tree forts. But when I was a kid, I wanted to try and like replicate them.
Well, maybe on the next one.
Yeah.
So now, speaking on the alien front, you know, being a big alien fan and some of us here as well, talk about the creation of like the look you want to have with the alien and how you created and how you did the special effects for this.
Yeah, Steve Newburn made the costumes for me, and they were inspired by, again, my childhood fear of aliens. And I remember when I saw the trailer on TV for Fire in the Sky, it yep. like completely traumatized me. And because it also said based on a true story, that was like the TV telling me that aliens are real and alien abductions happen. So I kept a baseball bat under my bed for years because of that movie. And there was something about like the way the aliens looked, and like it made me like read like every book I could about like alien abductions and UFOs when I was a kid. And it was always the tall like gray alien that like really freaked me out. There's something I think like just the humanoid form of it and the idea of it like breaking into your house and and abducting you. I don't know, that was what always unnerved me, rather than an alien with multiple arms and whatnot. Yeah.
That's, I'm the same way. Like, I don't know if you were a fan of the X-Files, but it was always, because most of it was shot up there in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Those episodes also, like, cause it was around, I feel like around this, close to the same time as Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
And that whole era of you know, Communion as well too, like that stuff like really creeped me out, especially those X-File episodes.
Well, let's bring it back though. Let's bring that stuff back. I'm glad that.
That'd be cool.
And we've only got you for a couple more minutes, but I got to ask you. You kind of, you know, I was reading over like some of your past films. You know, you did Slumber Party, Alien Abduction, which became this film. Why is for Young Buck, Treevenge. Mm-hmm. You got kind of like a style that you got. You're developing. Can you talk about what types of films that you love and the kind of style that you want to be known for?
Yeah, gosh, that's a good question. I guess like for me, the things that like I grew up on had like a huge like impact on like my aesthetic. And so, you know, naturally I'm a kid from the 80s. And so all like got really inspired by like the toy lines that I grew up with and just like how like the color palettes that they would use for marketing toys like had like a big inspiration on just how, you know, the costumes and set designs and stuff that like I do. But gosh, like it's like from movie to movie, it's like there's, you know, certain films that, you know, that you're inspired by, or that, you know, are kind of like in the back of your mind, that you're like, you know, you're trying to kind of capture a similar spirit of. So there's so many movies that that I love that have helped like kind of shape like the way that like I view the world. But I, you know, it's weird. Like, I haven't made a movie quite like it yet, but my favorite movie is The Warriors. And I feel like, and that movie, it's my dream to like make a film like that, or has an impact like that. But that movie, I think for me showed like the director, like when I saw it, I could see that the director like had like their own universe, like with the baseball furies and how the gangs look and the music and the colors. Like, it just felt like it was this heightened universe within our world, but the filmmaker like was creating a world. And so I like that, for me, when I saw it, like really inspired me to do something similar. And so all my work does kind of fit in within my own universe that I've created, but it's like a very high concept, you know, world. And I want my work to be like untrustful. And like, I don't want people to think that they could, I don't want people to feel like they can trust me when they're watching one of my movies. Like, I want them to think that like anything could happen, you know.
Like, definitely this movie, Kids vs. Aliens, it was a lot of fun, but you never knew.
There was some surprises at the end. No spoilers, but
no spoilers, no spoilers at all. Right?
you will do some stuff that people may not expect.
It definitely had an X-Files feeling. I loved it. Hey, Cheeseman, our last question, and then we got to wrap up here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to barely just squeeze two in here. You mentioned like loving working on this and wish you could be back on set. So I didn't know if there's any chance of a sequel. And then part two, unrelated, how many buckets of slime did you go through making this movie?
Gosh, the slime part was the most difficult, especially the main centerpiece in the movie where a character gets melted by like, you know, gallons of slime. Like, I think just to do that scene, like a couple takes of it would be like, I remember at one point seeing just like 8 garbage cans filled with slime leading up to the place where they like dump it. And then we did that like 2 days. So there had to have been like a dozen garbage cans of slime. I'll measure it with garbage cans. and then, the dream is to make a sequel to it. And we left a lot of breadcrumbs in this movie and a little hints and Easter eggs that, you know, will come to fruition if we ever got the chance to make a sequel. But John and I,
even an after scene.
Yes, yeah. There's that tees up something that, you know, we had planned for in the sequel. So yeah, we've already got like a pretty plotted out what we want to do for the next one. I just need people to talk about it and be loud about it, so people, the financiers will, make it happen.
All right, Kids versus
Awesome.
Aliens premieres in theaters on demand and digital on January 20th this year, directed by our very cool guest Jason Eisner, who also was the co-writer, based on the terrors of childhood of his own time.
Yes.
Jason, this has been such a pleasure talking with you, and I want everybody to know, if you want to find out more about what Jason is working on, Jason, where can they follow you?
Yeah, they can get me on Twitter, just at Jason Eisner, and same on Instagram at Jason Eisner. And yeah, I try to, especially on my Instagram, post stuff from the making of my work and keep people involved with like my perspective of making movies and TV shows.
All right, that's Jason Eisner, Eisner. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Now we are here with Caleb McDonald. Caleb stars as Billy in the new film Kids and the Aliens, which, as we all know, premieres in theaters on demand and digital on January 20th. Caleb, good to meet you, my friend.
Yeah, good to meet you too. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. For those of you who are who may not be as familiar, you may have seen Caleb on the long-running CBC hit Doc Mr. D, or the Netflix cult favorite Trailer Park Boys, and on CBC's award-winning series The Detectives. But Caleb's big break came as the character of young Dave in the critically acclaimed and super popular Netflix original series Umbrella Academy. That was quickly followed by a series regular role on all three seasons of CBC's family drama Moonshine. And Kids versus Aliens marks Caleb's feature film debut. Caleb, welcome to the show and congratulations. Glad to be talking with you today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So let me just ask you right off the bat here. This is kind of cool. This is super cool. How's it feel to be, I guess, for lack of a better word, making the jump to a feature film starring role?
Oh, it's wicked. Yeah, it's great. I love any opportunity that comes my way, especially a newer actor. Any new actors or struggling actors can, can relate with me. If you don't know if you're going to get the next job, it may never come despite, your resume or whatever. So it's amazing to work in general, but to be on something like this has just been, it was a wonderful experience to film, and it's been great, talking about it. And I can't wait to see what people think.
Yeah, Luke and I are both in the film industry as well, and we're coming. We're going to be asking you questions from a filmmaker's perspective. We're both screenwriters, and we know the whole joy of getting a project that you can kind of wrap your arms around of and take off for a while. All right, but Luke, do you have any? I'll let you go ahead and grab the next question.
Yeah, just easy to kind of jump in. Just like tell us how you got the part, the casting process, and about your character.
Yeah, so. I remember getting the audition notice on my phone. I was going to work and just saw Kids versus Aliens. Checked a couple of different. I knew one of the producers. I was working on another Moonshine. He was on, Mark Tetreault was working on Moonshine at the time, and he was doing this new movie, Kids versus Aliens. And I saw the sides and the character description. Sides are the for people that don't know, the just the little chunk of script that they give you to read off of for the character. But yeah, I read the little breakdown of how Billy is this, charming but sociopathic person, and then a
Right,
couple of
cool.
other blurbs. But yeah, it was just a little self-tape. I did it up in I'm in the same house, parents' house. Did it up there with my girlfriend and sent in a tape. And usually I thankfully do enough that I can just kind of forget about it. Just do it and forget about it rather than dwelling on it for however long. Sometimes there's the projects that you really want to book, but for this one, I was so busy at the time. I just did it, and I was like, I looked up Jason, and I thought it would be really cool to work with him. But long shot, right? Lead character. But a few months, I think like a month goes by, and I get a text from one of my friends who's working on the show, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to meet with Jason? Like, he wants to meet you for Billy, or meet with you, talk about Billy." I was like, "Oh, cool." What first came to mind was can I do it with school? Because I was in school. I'm not sure if I wanted to work again, just to get school out of the way. But ended up meeting with Jason. He was a blast. Got talking about films in Nova Scotia, and he sold me on the character, and we started working a few weeks after that.
Can we talk about it? We talked with Jason just a few moments ago. He seems like a super fun, fun guy to work with. Like he just, he had so much energy and he loved these stories he was talking. Can you describe what it was like working with him on set?
Oh, it was wonderful. He comes up. I've been watching some of his interviews, and when I was looking into Jason, because I didn't know him before the show, I was looking into him, and he just seemed like this great, genuine person. I was like, "Is that like real? Like some people can put on a persona, or an act, or whatever." But he's the same in real life. He's super cool. He's down to talk about anything. He loves movies and wrestling, and he'll just talk your ear off forever. And it's a joy to listen to him. Because he's so fun, and work making this movie with him, it was like he was a kid again, because that's how he kind of sees himself in Gary, as you know, that young filmmaker who just wanted to just film stuff and make movies. So being on set with him and you know getting to know him over the past year has been incredible. He's a great guy and great vision, super smart. And I hope he's able to keep making as many movies as he wants to. And hopefully we can work together again.
Yeah. Now he kind of talked about how he kind of like geeked out just of like, you know, the set design and different things. He said he'd actually go like a couple hours early just to hang out there. Did you feel kind of a little bit of that nostalgia, kind of like, you know, being the kids or being a fan of Aliens? Did you feel any of that yourself while being on set or just working on the project?
Yeah. I thought the production design was incredible. You know, they, one of the set pieces is a barn that has a big wrestling ring in it for the kids. And that was all that was real. You know, they put toys and the production designers, they designed these, you know, crazy toys with I don't even know what they would do. They would just make them. So they would modify everything, anything you could think of. It was just modified with like horns or spray painted or something. So everything in there was real and we got to touch and work around that. So it was super, super great to have that as an actor. And also another set piece that we had was the main house that the kids live in, Gary and Samantha. And that was Jason's parents' house that we got to film that in. And they decked sucker out with everything. They painted on the walls, on the windows, beer everywhere, or fake beer, I guess, but still it's sticky. Yeah. I'm sure, I don't know if his parents will let him shoot another movie in his house again. Or in their house again, but
it was just like so he threw amazing. The party of all ages he ever wanted to throw.
Here's the biggest rager, yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like a real party because he would blast music before takes sometimes. Obviously, you can't do it while you're filming, but he would just blast music, strobe lights are going, and you get into the zone, and then he'd say action, and then the music would cut. So it would kind of throw it off a little bit, just kind of screaming talking with no music. But he tried to make it as real as possible. And it was just super, super, super great to work on.
What kind of songs did he play when he did that?
Oh, it was mostly like techno, like kind of like how it is in the film that Andrew ended up composing was the like techno, like 80s, you know, upbeat songs that he was like, I'm not sure if they were made at the time, if he was actually playing some of the songs that are in the movie, but it was generally the same thing. You know, he was just super upbeat, trying to keep everyone focused and in the zone because they're long days. We're shooting at night, like, you know, wanted to keep everyone's toes.
You're also from Nova Scotia, right? Where he's from. And he talked about the legend of Shag Harbor. Are you familiar with the legend of Shag Harbor, where a UFO is said to have crashed into the waters off the coast of Nova Scotia?
Yeah, the only reason I was is because I'm a big like researcher, Googler when it comes to getting like auditioning for roles. I was looked up like Kids versus Aliens Nova Scotia, and then I think Alien Nova Scotia came up, and then Shag Harbor's story came up. Mm-hmm. And then I read on the Wikipedia page about, you know, how the UFO went down and fishermen went out to see if it was a plane and the whole deal. So I knew about it only after I got the audition, and then we talked about that at our little meeting that we had, and we just kind of connected on that. But no, it was new to me which is weird. I am from Nova Scotia. I'm sure I've heard about it before, but it really got on my radar, and I was made well aware of it making this movie.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, like, because you also have another, we're mainly talking about the movie, but how was this different than your role with Umbrella Academy? How was production different between working on these two productions?
Yeah, Umbrella, as you could imagine, was a lot bigger set, you know.
Watched shows on Netflix.
Yeah, like the production value's there. You know, they have a lot of money and they have a lot of people working on the show. When it boils down to it, I find that, you know, when the cameras are rolling, you know, it's all the same. It doesn't even matter if it's a camera, acting is acting, you know. Yeah. To me, it can just, you can do it anywhere if you want. But just being on, that was the first time I got to fly out to go somewhere else to film. So that was exciting. And it was a big process. It was a bigger thing than I was used to. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, like, I got to work with Robert Sheehan, and he was super like welcoming, super. I probably looked a little nervous. I was like 18 when I started filming that, and I'm 22 now. So I was newer. I'm still trying to figure it out now, but I was, you know, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning that. And I think he kind of realized that, and he was like, you know, making me feel at home, you know, at this set that I've only been here for 25 minutes, and he's already making me feel at home. That's but cool. When it boils down to it, kind of for me, it feels the same when the camera's rolling, but off camera, a little bit different, bigger city, you know, or yeah. Bigger cat, big cast, big crew. But yeah, it's a blast. I love working on independent films, smaller films, because you get to, it's a real, you build connections with people, and everyone wants to be there. So I love working in general, but independent films is special in my heart, because mm-hmm. they just so, it feels so true and so artistic and yeah. fun. Everyone just loves working when it comes to those.
Nice. Now, what was it like working with, like, there's a lot of kids in this movie. It seemed like they had just big personalities. Like, what was it like on and off set? And then, you know, with Phoebe, the actress that was like the love interest.
Oh yeah. They're all wonderful. I think we're all newer actors. Like, Dominic has so many credits and he's so young, but we're all so young. And we're all so new. So we're all still learning, but it didn't come off like that with them. Like, they were so professional and so good at listening, you know, when we're in scenes and behaving on set. Some days would get long and, you know, the kids would run off and kind of maybe get a little distracted. That's not uncommon. On Moonshine, when we get all of, it's a huge ensemble cast, and when we all get together, nothing gets done and people get frustrated. So it's not uncommon. It's their age doesn't even matter in that scenario, but they would go off and they were friends, right? They were becoming friends and working together every day. So it was a little hard to wrangle them up sometimes, but everyone was professional. Everyone was great. And they're all amazing actors. And if they want to do it, you know, if they want to keep doing it, they'll be able to, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. So we are kind of coming down to our last couple of questions here. Sure. So we'll try to wrap it up, but like, let me just add, you're also a pilot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, how hard was that to get your pilot's license? And what's harder, being a pilot or being an actor?
For me, I find acting harder.
Yeah?
I find it, there's some things in aviation and pilots that are difficult. There's certain ratings that are pretty difficult. But yeah, it was a four-year university degree that I did, about 2 hours, 2.5 hours from home in New Brunswick. I mm-hmm. did it at Mount Allison University with the Moncton Flight College. And yeah, it was 3 years of flight training, 4 years of university of running together. But yeah, I'm going back to school in like a couple of days to get my instructor rating. So I want to keep that career going as well. But yeah, I find I get frustrated. You know, there's that self-doubt in acting that you get a lot in any creative industry, even in non-creative industries. You just kind of get that self-doubt in yourself, and you're like, am I really good? Like, maybe I have a bad audition, or I don't feel like I'm doing that great on set. And there's that little self-doubt that creeps in. So that's what I feel makes it more difficult for me, because I'm never going to fully, same with aviation, you're never going to fully know everything. You're always learning, both as a pilot and an actor. So, you know, and I've found that I've gotten more frustrated with acting, and I want to do the best I can. I want to do best I can in both, but that in particular, when the lows are low, it's tough to dig yourself out of that hole. But they're both great mm-hmm. careers. I'd recommend doing both. But
both death defying.
Yeah,
that's cool. Hey, Luke, go ahead and we got to kind of wrap up here.
Okay. So yeah, just before I go to my last question, I was telling Jim before this, I'm like, your character at some, I don't know if I can say this, but he's kind of a dick at times, you know, he was like one of these like characters that like, you kind of like hate him a little bit, but I'm like, I bet you the actor is the nicest person in the world. Cause it always seems like the people that play like the meanest or the most like kind of like those kind of characters are like the nicest person in real life. And you seem like genuinely like one of the nicest like people like out there. But my last question is,
are you really a psychopath? No.
Yeah. Are you?
I was going to say like, it's just because we're holding it all in all day. You know, we got to take all this niceness and then scream at kids on set, tell them to fuck off. Sorry, yeah. I can swear, but.
So, yeah, I mean, the movie has its share, even in the tagline.
There were some potty mouth kids in the movie, let's be honest.
Yeah, potty mouth kids, yeah. But yeah, my final question is, like, what was it like, you know, being on set, like, with the aliens, the slime, all that kind of stuff? Like, what did you feel like interacting with all these great effects?
It was great when the camera's rolling, you know, they're very convincing, you know, as you can see in the movie, like it's great. They did such a good job. You lose the illusion when you're with them for like 12 hours a day and they're like getting spoon fed through their masks and stuff. There was one of the actors, Johnny, who played one of the aliens, and I never saw him out of his mask until the last day when I was going home. I never saw, like, I only knew him through, like, I saw his Instagram pictures, but I've never saw his face for real. I was always just like looking at him through his little like eyes. So that was kind of funny to me of, you know, but the makeup team on the movie was incredible, and all the actors were great. You know, they were local Halifax actors that, you know, wanted to try something new, probably haven't done something like this before. And they all did wonderful. You know, they got to be aliens for real in these huge suits that they had to wear, you know, zip up in the back and big helmet, big mask that they had to wear. So yeah, it was great to just work with them and see that kind of come to life and watch it on the big screen and see how well they did. I'm sure they.
I love that it was practical. I love you guys used that the director and your whole team was using practical effects. Exactly. I liked how grimy, slimy, crazy, cool 80s tastic it was. So everyone's gonna have a good time watching this film. Hey Caitlin, where can folks follow you and find out about upcoming projects or what you're working on?
Yeah, I mostly use Instagram at Caitlin Mac, CalemMac, on Twitter, Caitlin McDonald, and I think I just use Instagram and Twitter.
Cool.
And yeah, just I usually post on my I'm pretty active on Instagram, so just posting new projects and what I'm up to, daily life activities, if that interests anybody.
Some of your flying? Yep.
Yeah, a lot of when I'm flying, I usually post a lot of stories. That's cool. There's some videos on there now.
All right. Well, this has been a joy talking with you today. Everybody, you can watch Caitlin McDonald as Billy the psychopath, but he's a cool guy. In the new movie Kids vs. Aliens, which premieres in theaters on demand and digital on January 20th. You can follow us here, theconguy.com and thescareguy.com. You can follow me, James D. Fry. Cheeseman, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and also on theconguy.com and thescareguy.com.
All right. This has been a joy. Make sure you check it out. Caitlin, congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.